Thank you, Senator.
Senate Bill 202, an act to revise the calculation of state aid to general election and make an appropriation.
Senate Bill 202 has had its second reading, is now up for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Senator Bogue.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I appreciate the opportunity to be here to present the sparsity factor formula issue to you for a second time, hopefully with your support, possibly a last time. The sparsity as a concept is a recognition in South Dakota that we have many districts that are a very large and geographic region and yet isolated from their neighbors with declining enrollment populations and struggling fund balance problems, funding problems throughout their school systems. It's difficult to conceptualize, I know for all of us, size when it's not a subject or a concept that we deal with on a daily basis, and I just put some quick numbers together for you. I would like to, as far as the Associated School Boards is concerned, in an article printed in November 27th in the Argus Leader, was shown to have said that their 13 South Dakota school districts have a landmass larger than Rhode Island, four of which are larger than Delaware. Well, just in case you're not familiar, and I had to ask my intern to look it up for me too, Rhode Island has a square mileage of 1,545 square miles. Delaware is 2,489 square miles. Now, having said that, there's certainly no magic to that particular number. And it might be easier to make a closer to home analogy, and I would just, pulling just a few of the districts that I found on the list here, let you know that if you were to combine the square mileage of the Spearfish, Pier, Mitchell, Yankton, Brandon, Rapid, Sioux Falls, Watertown, West Central, and the Huron districts, you would still not be as large as the Harding County School District. Now, obviously, every school has funding problems. And I think the testimony that we heard from the educational community and the committee when Senate Bill 202 was presented to the Senate Education Committee reflected the fact that they understood, as we all on the committee did, that every school district in South Dakota can make an argument, and I think a valid one, that they are all suffering from inadequate funding. The problem with recognition of sparsity is that many of these districts that have funding issues have other options at their disposal. If you were to take an Eagle Butte or a Harding County or a Bison or a Lemon or any of the other districts that may be included on this particular bill, and this bill obviously is in flux at the moment, but if you were to include any of those districts, obviously with a square mileage of 500 square miles, which is a requirement first before you're eligible for sparsity, 500 square miles, you've got vast distances before these people will be able to consolidate with a next-door neighboring school district. Now, we added additional requirements, much like the bill that this chamber addressed not very long ago, dealing with the emergency or catastrophic building needs of various districts around the state. We're requiring that these districts show on some level that they're doing everything that they possibly can. One of those is that they must be levying their general fund levy at least the maximum allowed by law, if not have already gone through an opt-out. And I will tell you, most, if not all, of these districts have already done an opt-out. But you have three primary components. You have to have a square mileage of 500 square miles or more, a density student ratio of 0.6 students per square mile or less, and they have to not have a fund balance in excess of the current statutory requirements. Currently, that's 20%. We've dealt with a bill that would raise that particular amount, but currently, all of those components must be in place. These districts, ladies and gentlemen, are very large, very remote to their neighbors as compared to their neighbors, and yet in need of additional funding and without optional other things on their plate to allow them to make themselves more efficient. Distance learning was one of the other things that we put into the bill in the Senate Education Committee, requiring that the districts provide at least 15% of their high school curriculum through distance learning. Most, if not all, of these districts are doing that right now. A few are slightly under that, and I have no doubt within a period of a year that they will be forced to provide additional electives and or the mandatory graduation requirements via distance learning. The testimony in the committee highlighted the fact that the faith school, for example, may be within a couple years of not being able to provide all of the requirements to allow the graduates in faith to take advantage of the South Dakota Opportunity Scholarship. That, ladies and gentlemen, simply cannot be the policy of the state of South Dakota. The result of what will happen if this do-nothing starvation attitude towards school district funding continues is the fact that these districts will, in fact, cease to exist. But the mileage issues involved will not allow them, these families that have children, school-aged children, to continue to live on those farms, ranches, or small towns in South Dakota, because they can't drive 7-8 miles down the road and go to another school. There is no school 7 or 8 miles down the road. The next one in many locations is over 50 miles away. So unless we as a state are willing as a public policy issue to stand up and tell these schools, yes, we want a boarding school system in South Dakota, or we're frankly just allowing you to close, then we are going to close vast stretches to economic activity in South Dakota, because no family that currently has children will be able to continue to live there. That has trickle effects. And when we talk about so many of these districts being West River, that's true. But in fact, ladies and gentlemen, the river in question is the James River, not the Missouri River. This is a growing East River problem. There are a lot of safeguards in this bill, and I would ask for your support to show that the state is willing to stand up and say, yes, it is a unique problem. It affects a relatively small number of districts. But ladies and gentlemen, the legislature in South Dakota has shown its willingness on unique issues over time to stand up and say, it may not affect me at home, but it's the right thing to do. Just a few examples of which is when we bought the railroad in eastern South Dakota several years ago. Didn't have a statewide effect, except if you look at the transportational structure of South Dakota. We have sent hundreds of thousands of dollars for the preservation of Mount Rushmore, a very important icon in South Dakota, but yet has a very local effect in the Rapid City, Black Hills area. We deal every year with an omnibus water bill that affects water projects in South Dakota that affect only a limited number of regions. The biggest ticket on that item right now is the Lewis and Clark water system. It's important, and it's the right thing to do, and it's the right thing for South Dakota and for the future of South Dakota. And one of its largest, if it is the largest city, obviously for Sioux Falls, but so many communities that feed economic development into Sioux Falls will also be able to take advantage of that water system. In fact, sparsity school systems are the same type of feeder economic activity that help drive the Piers, the Rapid Cities, Spearfish. There are a lot of communities that rely on the economic activity coming from the farms and ranches in western South Dakota and in western East River South Dakota. If those families are no longer there, where are they going to go? I fully recognize, again, that schools have funding issues all around the state, and I think we need to make every effort we can to put in adequate funding to raise all boats, if you will. That has to happen. And I recognize that and fully support that. But at the same time, we cannot turn our backs on, this limited number of school districts because it isn't in our backyard. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's my entire backyard. And it's a pretty large backyard if you think about it. But the point is, we need to do the right thing for education. We need to do the right thing for economic development in South Dakota. We need to do the right thing under our Constitution and provide an adequate opportunity to education in every corner of the state, whether that happened to be in Ludlow, South Dakota, or in North Sioux City, South Dakota. Shouldn't make any difference where those children are at. This isn't funding that's going to allow them to expand expand educational programs. It's just simply a safety net to keep them in existence. There is a price tag to this bill, and I fully grant you that. And whether that price tag remains, as stated in the bill right now, at $2.9 million in change, actually the printoff that the LRC has presented to me shows an actual impact of $2.6 million in change. But as districts come in and out of fund balance issues or have levy issues or density issues, what have you, they may come into this list or fall out of this list. The price tag may, I'll be honest with you, grow or shrink. But as it is funding on an ADM basis, that total price tag over time is unlikely to increase, is very likely to decrease over a period of time. Now, if you look at it, a cost per student factor, it is evidently going to go up. because the same number of dollars or fewer number of dollars over fewer students is going to look out of whack when you compare it to somebody with a more urban school district. But ladies and gentlemen, isn't a relatively few amount of dollars in this bill worth keeping 17 different districts with square mileage of over 500 square miles open to South Dakota?
Time. Olson yields.
Thank you. I appreciate the yielding. I didn't intend to go this long, but it's an important issue to me, and I appreciate the chamber's gratitude and graciousness in allowing me that time. I would just wrap up at this point. Ask for your support of Senate Bill 202. If you cannot support it for any other reason, please support it just simply for the reason that this allows one more component of a broader educational package to continue through the process and allow us yet one more opportunity as it goes through the House and come to the last few days when we have adequate revenue estimates and do come up with a final omnibus package for education and every other component of the funding in South Dakota, that we will know whether or not this particular piece fits within the broader package. I would ask for your support of Senate Bill 202.
Senator Knudsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. It is an unpleasant duty for me to stand up and oppose Senate Bill 202. And I suppose in some sense I have only myself to blame, as I was the deciding vote to send it down to the floor on a due pass recommendation so that we could have a debate on this topic, which I think is appropriate. I've subsequently learned that not many people share my view that there are topics that deserve to be debated, even if you disagree with them. But I think this is an appropriate topic for debate. And clearly, the issue is a difficult one. I think Senator Bogue has first crafted a bill that is probably as good, as tight as you can do. I have no quarrel with the criteria, the thresholds, and so forth. I think if you are going to do a sparsity, this is as good as you can craft the bill to do it. And also I recognize that the problem of sparse schools, like the problem of property tax fairness, gets worse and worse every year we do nothing. And it's very frustrating for people on the sparse school issue or on property tax fairness issues to see inaction go year after year. And so I understand the passion with which Senator Bogue feels on this bill. And a year ago, I stood up here and supported having a sparsity factor in our state aid formula. And this year, I am on the other side. And that is simply a result of I think a realization how bad our schools are hurting. I think this does come down to ultimately a cost issue. The cost is about $20 to $25 per child. That's the ADM cost of funding this. If we took the same amount of money and just dropped it into the formula without sparsity, it would increase it by that amount. It's a difficult issue. There's no question that Senator Bogue's made a compelling issue for the problems of sparse school districts, but I think that the time to adjust this is at a time when we have some significant new inflow of funds for our school aid funding, and that is not 2005. And lastly, I do think that defeat of this bill does not necessarily end the discussion. As Senator Bogue said, there's likely to be an ultimate resolution of a wide number of educational funding issues, and they'll all be boiled down into a single omnibus bill. And the mere fact that this bill dies or passes, I don't think necessarily is the final chapter for its inclusion or non-inclusion in that bill. I would urge you to vote no.
Mr. President.
Senator Schoenberg.
Well, Senator Knutson and I have traded jobs this year on this bill. I had the opportunity to put a stake in the heart of it last year, and I want to tell you that I represent one of the least sparse districts. My district doesn't even lose under the governor's plan, and quite frankly, unlike Senator Bell, my kids are pretty smart, so I probably don't even have to care about whether we're going to do this. But the fact is, these are South Dakota kids we're talking about. They're I'm going to move over here. These are our kids. I mean, they're kids. They may not live in my district. They may not live in Senator Bella's district, but they're kids. They're kids from South Dakota schools. And this bill, it's not in final form. It may not even be in very good form, but we need to keep it in some form. Because the next generation of farmers and ranchers in Harding County, they're not coming from the Brandon Valley School, and they're not coming from the Watertown School, and they're not coming from Sioux Falls. They're coming from schools in Harding County. We need to keep those schools alive. We need to figure out how to do it. And the river that divides us can't be the Sioux River. It'd be nice if none did, but it certainly can't be the Sioux. We need to work together to try and keep this bill going forward so we can keep the discussion going. And I want to tell you, I got an agenda here. I want to see more monies for our schools. I think that we have to deliver a better package of state aid for our schools. I think this is one of the components to deal with one of the problems that we've got. And we should keep it alive and keep the skin in the game. But we're going to have to do better. And that better, it's 2.5% or it's 3%. I don't know what it is, but it's better. And it's got to be done. This bill has a very short half-life if we don't do better for all the schools in the state. But I think we have a responsibility to keep this in the program because those kids deserve it. And we should want to try and take care of all the kids in South Dakota. I would encourage you to support this bill. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Adelstein.
I have a question for the sponsor, please.
State your question.
On line 20 on page 4, you had a number, 156. If the school has a population of 50, how was that computed?
Senator Bull, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Mr. President. I will certainly attempt to. Senator Adelstein, Section 2 of the bill is essentially a flat-out safety net, that if the ADM in a particular district, this is exactly the same language in the conference committee version from last year, but if a district drops below a 50 or less, then the actual ADM count under the formula would be deemed to be this other number. And again, in order for that to work, that again is, if it drops, we'll just keep funding it right here, and that's how that mechanism particularly works.
Thank you very much.
Senator Adelstein, you have the floor.
Another question for the sponsor, please. How many students do you estimate will be covered by this $2.9 million?
Senator Bogue, do you wish to respond?
Mr. President, I would love to. I'm not finding my sheet at the moment, so if we could go on to further debate, I will be more than happy to provide that total number estimated under the bill.
Senator Adelstein, you still have the floor.
Well, Brian Christian dealt with that. I have another question. You referred to the amount of dollars that was given to Mount Rushmore. How many in the development phase some years ago? I'm trying to recall how many dollars, because I was the vice president of the Mushroom Society at that time. How many dollars did the state give to the Mount Rushmore development, if you recall?
Senator Bogue, do you wish to respond?
Mr. President, again, Senator Adelstein, I will simply guess, but I remember the total being $300,000 to the Mount Rushmore Foundation.
I remember about that, or maybe a little more, but that's about 10% of what we're talking about here. The next question, and then I guess I'll know where I stand. Will these dollars be part of the formula as we know it? Gabriel Cutler, the distribution to the communities across the state? Or will this be money that comes out before the money is distributed on a per student basis under that formula?
Senator Bogue, do you wish to respond?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Adelstein, again, my interpretation of the bill is it's both in and out. It does use the adjusted ADM count to figure the count by which it funds the sparse ADM, so therefore it would be in that component under the Cutler-Gabriel or regular mechanism of the formula. However, there is a section in the bill that does exempt out that particular issue from the regular local effort issue.
Senator Adelstein, you still have the floor.
I would like to wait just a moment for the number of students to be covered by this, if I may, Mr. President.
Senator Bogue.
Mr. President, the printout that I have reflects a total of adjusted ADM, which would include the small school factor. But the actual adjusted ADM for these districts would be 5,270.88 adjusted ADM.
Thank you very much.
Senator Adelstein, you have the floor.
That helps me a lot because I can see why boarding wouldn't work for 5,000 students. My trouble with this bill is a fairness one. Right now, the district that I represent have people under terrible pressure on property taxes because they pay a greater percentage of the cost of the education, the state, than those in other areas. Therefore, to the extent that this $2.9 million comes out of the school aid formula, to that extent, it's going to be another burden on the people in Rapid City. I recognize that this is a very serious problem, and I recognize our obligation to furnish education to children in sparsely populated areas. But somehow the fairness escapes me. I think that we must first come up with a fairer formula, and once the formula is adjusted, then we can decide who and how and where is the load to educate children that absolutely deserve it, where should it come from? And until that's done, I think that those of us who represent a district such as mine are compelled to vote against this particular bill.
Further remarks? Senator Olson, you have 8 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. President. I knew that yield would get me. Well, just a response, Senator Adelstein. What he is saying to you is that when the tax rates, assuming the Rapid City Schools is taxing at the maximum rate of each of the classes of property, it is true. They would get 75% of their bill paid by their local taxpayers, and approximately 25% would come from state aid. That would be the fill. But in no way, I hope he didn't leave the impression, as I think he did with me, is that his people are putting in any more greater effort than anyone else in the state of South Dakota, because that's not true.
Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Jim Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Permission to address the bill.
Yes, sir, that's granted.
Senator Bogue, you have done a marvelous job of explaining the need. And there are many of us that would like to help. But there are also many of us at this time who are going to vote no on this bill. But just because we vote no on this bill at this time does not mean that at some time in the next couple of weeks, when an entire plan comes together, we are not willing to put Sparsity back in. The minority party presented a plan a week ago, and it included Sparsity. And I want you to know that at the proper time, we will be willing to work with you. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Bogue, does any member wish to speak before Senator Bogue speaks again? Okay, Senator Bogue.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I will attempt to be real brief. Back to question raised by Senator Adelstein. First, let me just, Senator, give you an actual ADM count of 4747.4. I didn't include all the decimal points when I added that up, but the actual hard body count would be about 4,700 and change. As to your other point about this being within the formula, if you review Section 3, a local need does not include Sparsity, so I don't believe under Cutler-Gabriel that argument holds any particular weight at this particular time. Certainly would go on, however, to say Senator Adelstein's point about the relative dollar amount to go into Mount Rushmore or to any other particular project. I use those examples not to say we should strike the balance and fair or equalize everything up, because that's frankly in this state never going to happen. My point was, however, to say that this body and the House has on many occasions stood up and said, it may not help my district, but I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do for the state. Whether it's only $300,000 or several million dollars as per the Lewis and Clark Water Project. The point being is that we do think beyond the borders of our district, beyond the borders of our school district, and do what we see the right thing to do for the entire state. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hold true to Senator Adelstein's admonition that we not pass this until we fix the formula, I will submit to you that we will never pass sparsity. Because I will submit to you that there is always going to be someone that will argue that the formula, no matter how carefully crafted, is not proper. If you look at a lot of states surrounding us and those across the United States, you'll find many school formulas in court. Kansas just recently had theirs thrown out. Very similar to ours, as a matter of fact. But the point being is that we need to try and do the help we need to do now. Waiting a couple of years, waiting even a year, may be too long for any single district that is included on this short list. Please find it within your hearts to do the right thing for everyone in South Dakota, but particularly these 17 districts and the 4,700 school students that would be affected by this formula.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate then is final consideration, Senate Bill 202. Because it contains an appropriation, a two-thirds majority vote is required for passage. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah.
No.
Adelstein.
No.
Apa.
Aye.
Bartling.
Aye.
Bogue.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Dempster.
Aye.
Denwald.
Aye.
Dunafin.
Aye.
Early.
No.
Gant.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Greenfield.
Aye.
Hanson Tom.
Aye.
Hanson Gary. Hunstead,
yeah.
Kelly,
aye.
Kochek,
no.
Knutson,
no.
Ketzel,
no.
Koistra,
aye.
Koskin,
aye.
Linz,
aye.
McCracken,
aye.
McNinney,
aye.
Moore,
aye.
Napoli,
aye.
Nesselhoff,
no.
Olson,
aye.
Peterson,
no.
Schoenbeck,
aye.
Smith, Sutton
Dan? Aye.
Sutton Duane?
Aye.
Two Bulls?
Aye.
Senator Dunafin?
Aye.
Senator Hunstead? Mr. President, ayes 25, nays 10.
Senate Bill 202 has received a two-thirds majority vote of the members-elect and is declared passed. Are there questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.